How did the 49ers special teams?
Good, good. You know, last year they were they had a great year last year. I mean, they're you always start with the key ingredients. You know, your kicker, punter, snapper, and they're, you know, they've got a 6-time Pro Bowl kicker in David Akers, and is arguably, no, you could argue that he's, you know, best in the NFL, one of the all-time best. He really is. He does everything. He's good. Lee's a 3-time Pro Bowl punter, had a heck of a year last year. They've got a, you know, an army of return guys, which Ginn's one of them, several of them. A long snapper that's been with him for 9 years, veteran group of teams guys, so they're good. They're good. So it's a good matchup. It's a good matchup. I think we're pretty good. So, you know, we might come at it from a little different angles where, you know, they've got the 9-year guy, we've got the 9-day guy. You know, we're just kind of new. But that's okay. I mean, that's part of the business. So I enjoy the challenge. I'm looking forward to it. I think we've played well, and I know they're good, so it's a good matchup. And we have to match up. You just have to do it because they're good. They're a good football team. You know, all the way around, they're, but yet, like anything, you know, they got beat last week. They'll be looking to bounce back, and so you know, we pushed ourselves in the first place. We want to stay there, so it's going to be a good fight. I have a lot of respect for their guys, a lot of respect. I know their coach real well. He was at New England a long time, so I recognize a lot of things that they do. Some of the stuff they got from me, but I love teasing people about that. No, they do a real good job. I have a lot of respect for them.
Mike, do you have any Ted Ginn flashbacks when you watch him?
Any what, please?
Ted Ginn flashbacks.
No, I have those enough. No, you know, he's just such a talented guy. I mean, he's so fast. And, you know, the time we had to, when he got us at the time, which I've had to relive now, thanks, 50 times. You know, we really had him covered. We really did. And he just bounced and stopped and just ran around the end and got it. I saw him, actually, last year in their opening game. He ran almost the exact same return. It was a little different return. They ran a return very similar to what we run, and it was not there. It wasn't there. He stopped, reversed the field, ran around everybody. So, you know, the guy's a very talented guy. They've got enough of them. So, it's a challenge.
Mike, it's been almost a week, but what was especially for what you do for a living? What was your take on what happened at the end of the Miami game? The overtime with the kicks and the block
ticks and not unusual. I mean, it doesn't. I'm not freaking out over it. It doesn't bother me. It's those things happen. You know, obviously they drove the ball down and were kicking. Had a chance to win the game. We actually made a little substitution difference on our field goal block team, but it affected a little bit, I think. And so we had a good rush, and he pulled the ball. He just pulled it and missed it. All right, so we get a chance, and we drove down, and you could see that their coach was going to call timeout, that he was going to ice us. You could see it. And then, and as he did it, what happens, as soon as he did it, which was before the snap, then the whistles are being blown. And as the whistles blow, that throws off everything of what actually happened. Our get-off time is usually at a particular level. This was way slower. Nick, everything was slowed down, and Nick just went through with the kick, and then they blocked it. So, you know, you don't like to have the kick blocked. I believed that because they hadn't come close to us before, and they weren't going to come close to us again, which they did not. So I'm going to stick with how I felt, you know, because I remember Mark Sanchez was – Mark came on the field, and he was, you know, we had the timeout after the, you know, the play, and he was, you know, what can we do? We have to – you know, I said, we're not going to do anything. And same guys are out there. We're not going to put any new ones in. It was kind of funny. No, I mean, he was just into it. You know, he was really into it, and I just believed that we would, and we did, because we had done it the whole game, and we continued to do it. But once that happens, yeah, I've seen this number of times. Everything gets disrupted. It was not Nick Folk's normal time. The guys are sort of. It's not like they stop, but it's just not the same. It's just not the same. And then we had a chance to kick it. And so that's the risk sometimes you take with icing. That you take that risk. Those things happen. And statistically, I think over the long haul, the last group of statistics that I've read, that the icing is effective. That's a little bit effective. I like it under certain circumstances. Others, I don't like it. I like it on a real cold, crummy day. The wind's blowing, it's howling. I like it. I like making them wait forever. Then I really like it. You have a kicker that you know that he's a real routine guy. I like it then. Rest of the time, to be honest with you, I don't. I think it's just line up, let's go. So there's different philosophies. Though I was not at all upset about that, or I felt that I knew he was going to call timeout. You could see it. We're going to make it. We'll kick it. We're going to make it. And we know. That's what I believed. I mean, I'm not, I'm not Nostradamus here. I can't. But I believed that, and it worked. So those things are part of it.
Mike, looking at the tape, was the Eric Smith thing, was that not, what would you say about the call, the roughing the punter? Where
any time that you make contact with any part of the plant leg, and when since you're so defenseless, then they want to throw the flag. It was in that instance, it looked like he went under him, but he actually was on his foot. And they sort of tripped over. It wasn't a violent thing, but technically that's really probably the right call. It was a good block. I really liked the block. I mean, we're trying to get two guys on one. We got that. And Eric's the guy. We wanted to get it. He didn't miss it by 6 inches. Now, I give the punter credit because he actually is a low snap, but he came up with it. He came up kicking, and he did a great job. He got it punted at about a 1.94. Now, that's lightning fast. Or we block it, we stuff it, because the block worked. And the fact that Eric went across in front, he didn't go into his body. I mean, Eric's as good as there is. I think he's as good as it is for anybody in the NFL. But the fact he went right for the block point, but the fact he came across it, and then he just as he actually landed, it was on his foot. Then they have to call it. You don't like it, but it's the correct call. It is.
Mike, getting back to Nick's kick, I heard him talking about how if the other team ices or tries to ice him, he'll kick it anyway, just because it's like a practice swing, so to speak. And, some kickers do that, and some don't. But, instead of him walking around still waiting to make that kick, he's made a kick, even if it's blocked, but he's done the whole thing.
I get it. And that's his philosophy, and I'm fine with that. The thing the only thing I don't like, in quote essence, is when the fact it's not under our normal rhythm. And that, I think, is a little bit askew. But I know Nick likes to do that. A lot of guys do. They want that kick. They say, I'm gonna go get one in the net anyway. I'll take this one. And so in that regard, it's part of the game, and you see it all the time. It affects some more than others. I mean, how many times have you seen that kick made? And then you come back the next time and miss it. Or miss it and come back and make it. So you see it always, and I'm not it's part of our game.
Do you wish they changed the rule and not make it where you can't do it right as there?
I'd have to see the alternative suggestion as to how they would not do it, and what would you do? I mean, what are you going to tell them? You can't call timeout? I mean, I don't know. So I'd have to see that whole thing presented before I could answer that really very
properly. Maybe it couldn't be called before a certain amount of times left on that.
Well, that's a valid point. It's a valid point. You bring up a good point. I'd like to see the whole thing presented and see what that was. Is the clock's ticking down? You can't, what are you, 5 seconds, 10 seconds? I don't know. When someone puts that all together, I heard that talked about the other day on one of the talk show sports shows. I get up early and some getting out of bed in the morning, listen to these things or watch them, and someone was talking about that. But I have, when I see it all presented, then I could comment. I don't know enough to say.
Mike, Akers has kicked for 13, 14 years.
15, I think.
Yeah, in the league. In your experience, have you found a kicker who lasts that long? Is it because he keeps himself in terrific physical shape? Or is it more because of the mental strength he has of dealing with what's happening?
It's a good point. He does both. He does both exceptionally well. He's a very disciplined guy. He's a very on-time guy. They time him all the time. He likes a certain rhythm that he goes, and he's an incredibly physical specimen. He's a 99th degree belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu type. No, he really is. I mean, he's like the toughest guy in the building. I mean, there's no kidding. I'm dead serious. He does his martial arts training as part of his physical development, and he takes it very serious, and he's good at it. He's, from what I understand, and I've heard the little stories, but he's a tough guy, but he really does this as part of his physical training, and his lower body is so powerful, and it's kept him at a peak performance all these years. He's got great explosion.
Yeah, just in general, though, I mean, he's obviously it's both, but in your experience, have you found that one is more important than the other? Was Morton Anderson a shell of himself by the end because he was so tough mentally he could make the kicks anyway?
I think there's a level of each that you have to have. I think a level of each. I think obviously you can't ask your body to keep going if you don't keep it at a certain level. I think the guys that mentally sometimes are a little bit stronger, they maybe can push themselves through that. But I think the combination of both, I don't know if one would go over the other. if I had to pick one, it would be the mental part. I like that guy that mentally hangs in there, because sometimes they can fight through the other things. But you think you find the real good guys, physically they take care of themselves pretty well, and he does a great job of it.
Mike, I don't know if you saw, but in, or I'm sure you did, in Baltimore and with them in New England, the field goal at the end of the game. Do you think there's got to be a solution to figuring out when you've got a field goal that goes over the uprights?
No, I think it's really the absolute guy that has the best view in the house is the official. He's right under it. He looks right. That's why they put the big post up. I think back in the Baltimore, Green Bay, 100 years ago, there was a questionable one that was questionable, was ruled a particular way, and that now they extended the post. He's got a great view. The thing is that you really don't have the good view is when you see it on television, you see it from the sideline, because when you believe it's over the post, it may be 8-10 feet past the post or not. So that's where you get an skewed picture. The guy underneath's got a great view. He's got the best seat in the house, because he's taught to look right straight up the post at it, and he can see it as it comes over. And I believe that the call was made correctly. I mean, you know, if you want to evaluate it or go back over, review it, you do all those things you want to do. It's, you know, I don't think that's important. That guy, to me, has the best view, and I would trust his decision. So that's one of those things.
Mike, you obviously do a lot of work with the penalty stuff with the refs and all that. So have you given any thought to the fact that you're getting the, quote, real refs back this week?
No. In some ways I have, and others we haven't. As I told you before, I'm a big believer in the system. I believe that it's our responsibility to know the rules and to make sure that we can execute them. How they're being administrated is someone else's business. I think the one thing that we will see this week that'll be because of the new guys back and their familiarity with this, I think you'll see a stepped up speed of play. I believe that'll be part of it. Where the other guys sometimes, you know, this was a little bit new to them, and sometimes it took a little bit longer. I think that's the only thing I would comment on, that I would expect that. Other than that, to me, it's our responsibility to play the correct way, and how it's administrated is someone else's area, and that's not ours. So all I talk about is with our guys doing things right and playing the right way, how the game should be played. So other than that, I'm happy that things are going to be back to normal. So, but that's just a part of our game, part of the business. So I think we approached it the right way, that it was our responsibility to take care of this part of the game and not to worry about how it was going to be administered. I think we tried like heck to do that. So I'm a believer in that. Yes.
I have one question about Jeremy Curley. What would you say is, do you have a good idea what his 40 speed is?
Yeah.
I do. The reason I was talking to him about speed today and comparing him to Stephen Hill, approximately where is he? We know
it's fast enough. He's close enough. And he's got enough. He's got some burst. He has burst. I don't want to talk about an exact speed. I don't think that's really fair. Trust me, he's fast enough, and he's got excellent quickness. He can burst. He's got a good, you know, he sees it, and he bursts. He can explode with it. Is he as fast as the fastest guy? I mean, I don't know that, but I know he's certainly fast enough.
Well, and that's what he was talking about was your time might be one thing on your pro day or at the combine, but you hit the field, and it might be different. And we saw on that punt return, nobody touched him.
No. He averaged 15 last week, which I was pretty happy with, too, and did a nice job there. Yeah, it's how fast you can play. How fast you actually play the game is what really counts at the end of the day, because there's been lots of track guys that aren't football players and vice versa. I learned a great lesson when I was a young coach. I was coaching at Indiana University, and I was a graduate assistant there when I was going to graduate school, and we had a coach that had coached there for a long time, and he actually worked with me. I was on the staff, and he died. And at his funeral, Woody Hayes came to his funeral. This was at the time when Woody Hayes was an eminent call. This was Woody was the boss, and my job was to drive him to the airport. Well, that was the best job I could ever have, and I was driving him. And he's told me, he said, he was asking me different things that I did as a coach, and he said, keep something in mind as you work through your career. He said, I never saw a weightlifter that was a football player. He said, but I saw a lot of football players that learned how to lift weights. He said, make sure you know the difference between what their skills are off the field as to how they transfer on the field. It was a pretty good lesson for a young guy. I think I was, I don't know, 23 years old or something like that, and driving, you know, hoping I don't do something stupid. I was pretty impressive, and I still feel the same way. And I've always felt that. And then I went with Coach Shula, and he always, you know, he would profess that very same type of thing. You know, how do they play? Do they play that fast? Jeremy plays fast. And I think that's the key.
Did you get the look you wanted from Miami to run the fake punt with him?
Yes. Yeah, we did. I knew as soon as I saw them line up, we were going to get it. I knew we were getting it. We have several different ways to do it. I don't know, I'll give you all the ways, because we'd be here for, you'd have to cancel the other two conferences. I don't tell you. I just don't know. That's just the truth. But we had a specific thing on. It's a personnel grouping and a play. If they're lined up, and it's not, they had seven guys in the box, so it's not like they weren't. It's not like they fell asleep. They did not. But we feel with the guys we have blocking and Tim running the football under that set of circumstances, we're going to go get it. And we did. So we're, what, fourth and a good four on our own 20-whatever, and we ran it. Now, if they're loaded up, then we have to punt the football. And there's certain looks that we don't like, others we like. And then Tim goes out knowing that we're going to run it. But if it's not there, he'll get us out of it, and we'll punt. Or there are other things that there's a possibility that we're going to go punt, and they've given us a particular look, and then we can check to something different. So we have a whole number of things. And Tim being that quarterback that's used to doing that really helps. So it gives us a lot of flexibility, and it's helped in that regard. I was very confident to run it, absolutely very confident. And we got it really pretty easily. We exploded.
When you want to call it fake, do you talk to Rex about it, or do you just call it?
Sometimes it depends. In some instances, I will. And then Rex knows the circumstances where we thought about this, and we've talked before. You know, we'll say, hey, if we get in this situation, and he'll say, yeah, you get in that situation, do it. So it's, you know, we've already kind of discussed that ahead of time. So it's not like, you know, we're just calling and he's like, you know, wow, not that. we practice this. Rex is right there in our practices, and he sees it every day. He's in my meeting on Saturday night when we go through all these things. And so he knows exactly what we're going to do. We ran this play in practice every single. Matter of fact, we've run that play in practice for the last 3 weeks. The only chance we had to call it. Actually, we called it, and then sometimes it doesn't occur. You get the first down. Maybe you get a sack, and it goes from 4th and 4 to 4th and 14. Well, now you don't have it. So we've called it numerous times, but this time, Rex is, you know, Rex knows all that because he's right there when we're in the middle of it all and sees it every day. And we go get it. So, yes, I call it, but it's not like he doesn't know.
I just wonder what the field position, you know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I agree. But that's I get your point. But, you know, sometimes you have to be prepared. You have to believe in what you're doing. I believe in those guys. And I believe in Tim. You give Tim the ball, he's, what, 240 pounds. He's not easy to stop. Though, back there, they didn't have their defense out. You know, like when we did that different look against the Pittsburgh Steelers, they put their defense on the field. So did Miami. Well, that helps your punt team. Though, you know, there's a lot of things you try to do to help you, and guys like this can help us win football games.
But do you run the same fake twice? I mean, or is it just one and done for the year?
Probably one. No, one of the, no. That's a good question, which I'm probably not going to answer. To be honest with you, that's a good question. No, I don't know. Sometimes you run variations off of it. You could run it again. So yes, to answer your question, yeah, we could run it again. Certainly.
Did you get Woody Hayes to the airport on time?
Yes, I did. Proud young man. Okay, guys. Thank you.